Okay, good morning. Thank you for joining us. Today's daf is Daf Pei Zayin. We continue to learn about the power of tshuva, the importance of tshuva. Let's start again on Pei Vav Amud Beis. It's about 16 lines or so up from the bottom. Says the Gemara, we know that tshuva is to be expressed verbally. Kui machem dvarim. He said that take with yourself words. That's the vidui. The Shuvu El Hashem, says the Gemara, V'tzarech lifrod esachet. In the repentance, one is obligated to detail the sin. As we've mentioned, it's very hard for a person to say, I was wrong. That's painful. We want to think that we're perfect, that we're great, that humanity's lucky to have us. So to admit, I'm wrong, I did this wrong, I regret it, that's hard for a person to do. So there's a certain element of pain in that admission. That pain is machaper, that atones for the sin. Every sin really should be punished, but here I went through pain, I admitted I was wrong. So I have to detail exactly what I was wrong about. V'tzarech lifrod esachet, I have to detail the sin. Shenam, as the pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he davens that Hashem should forgive the Jewish people for the sin of the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ana, please, chata amazeh chata gedola. This nation committed a great sin. Vayasula hem Elohei Zahav. And they made for themselves gods of gold. They made molten images. They made the golden calf. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava. This is the view of Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava holds that part of the tshuva is lifrod esachet, to detail the sin in order to have greater humiliation and thereby garner atonement. However, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva says a person should not specify the sin. He just said, Chatasi, God, I sinned. Please forgive me. Because of the pasuk, Shenamar Ashrei Nesui Pesha Ksui Chata. Fortunate is the person whose sin is lifted up, whose misdeeds are covered over. If that's the case, Rabbi Akiva, Lamahu Shamar Moshe V'Yasulam Elohei Zahav. So why did Moshe not do that? Why did Moshe not cover the sin? Why did Moshe say the Jews made for themselves gods of gold? Why did he specify the sin? We're on Pei Vav Amud Beis, towards the bottom. About 15 lines or so up from the bottom. Answer the Gemara to Rabbi Yanai. The answer is like what Rabbi Yanai taught. I'm Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai said, I'm Moshe Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe said before God, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World. Kesev is Zahav Shir Beisal Emli Yisrael Hacham Rudai. The silver and gold that you made so much for the Jews, that you gave them so much silver and gold, that they said about it, enough. We have enough. That's what garam lohem shiyasu lohei zahav. That's what caused them to make an image of gold and to make a golden calf. Sometimes wealth is not a blessing. Wealth might be a curse. Think of the pasuk in Koheles. Osher shamur leba'alav l'raso. Wealth stored away for its possessor, for his harm, for his misfortune. Wealth can be a source of terrible misfortune. Pasuk says, "Vayishman yishurun." The Jewish people grew fat because of luxuries and wealth. Vayivat, and then they kicked God. They kicked away religion. Shamanta avisa kashisa. The verse says that the Jewish people, sometimes when they become wealthy, they become entitled, they start to think, oh, we don't need God's help. They think of themselves as being self-sufficient, not dependent on the Almighty. And chas v'shalom, when people have that sense of arrogance, it could lead them to make a new god, gold and silver. They think that's going to save them. They think that's going to protect them. They become, unfortunately, rebellious against God. So that's what Moshe was saying. Hashem, the Jews committed a golden calf. That's true. But you know, in a certain way, it's not their fault. In a certain way, it's almost your fault. you took these slaves and you gave them enormous wealth when they left Egypt, and gave them again wealth and the splitting of the sea. They had tremendous wealth suddenly, and they allowed the wealth to get to their heads. Had you kept them poor people, taken them out of Egypt and kept them poor and kept them in, you know, on a tight leash, they still would have been humble, and they still would have known that they need Hashem's Rachmanus, and they wouldn't have had the arrogance to go and to make a golden calf and to say, "Eil Elohecha Yisrael Asher Alucha Meretz Mitzrayim," these are your gods that took you out of Egypt. So the Gemara says in Maseches Chagiga, Ya'a Ani Yusal Yisrael, poverty is good for the Jewish people. When Jews are poor, when we are under stress, and we have the right values, we turn to God. I remember after 9/11, so we in New York, we were all very shaken. The headline of the Daily News at the time said World War III. People were scared. I was living in Washington Heights in Manhattan. Within 2 hours, there was no bottled water in Key Food on Broadway, you know. And then they shut down the George Washington Bridge, where we felt that we were under siege. So it was right the week of Slichos. So in all the shuls outside of Manhattan, and they had, you know, gatherings before Rosh Hashanah for Slichos, there were tons of people. So why were there so many people? So I remember one of the speakers who had a thousand people showed up to a shul in the five towns to hear him speak about tshuva. He said, "Osama bin Laden. Osama bin Laden is the big Marbitz Torah, because when people are scared, everybody's on edge." So yeah, we turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People didn't feel so secure anymore. People were worried. They were scared. We turned to Hashem. But when people have a lot of money and feel secure, then unfortunately, the gold and the silver causes us to think that we don't need anything. We don't need any help. And then Chas V'Shalom, we might make a golden calf. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem, they made a lohei zahav, they made a golden calf, but it's really because of the gold you gave them. It's not all their fault. The wealth is a big challenge. Okay. Want to say something? Roger, I don't know.
I mean, it was a lot of chutzpah and motion
to say that it's all the gold. Yeah. A little bit on Hashem, right? It's certainly our fault. He gave us the gift, but a little bit, it's that he gave it to us. Please, Izzy.
We are in the middle of 18. We just have to do it machshava, or we can.
No, to express it verbally.
We can say it in the middle.
Yeah, in Slach Lanu. Says the Gemara, Shnei Parnasim Tov Mamdam Yisrael. There were two wonderful leaders for the Jewish people, Moshe and David HaMelech. Moshe Am Yikasev Surchoni. Moshe says, Hashem, write. Write my misbehavior. Write my misbehavior. Shenemar, that's what the Torah in fact says many times about Moshe Rabbeinu. Yan lo emantem bi. That Hashem says, Moshe, you're going to die. You're not going to enter Eretz Yisrael because you didn't believe in me. Lakti sheni, you didn't sanctify my name. Since you didn't believe in me to sanctify my name, you hit the rock twice, or you hit the rock instead of talking to the rock. Different explanations on the Rishonim what sin was. You got angry at Klal Yisrael. Either way, it was a lack of belief in me to sanctify my name. So Moshe wanted it written, and it's written all over the place. Zimnin Tuba, as Rashi says. It's written many times. However, David Amar, David says, Al Yikasiv Surchani, don't write my misdeed. Don't spell it all out. Shenemar, as David is davening and telling him, he says, Ashrei Nesui Pesha. Fortunate is the one whose sin is borne away. Ksui Chata'a. His crime is covered. So why the difference? Mashal de Moshe v'David, lema davar domet. The parable of Moshe and David, what is this like? V'shtei nashim shalaku bevezdin. When you have two women getting lashes in the court for their misbehavior. Achas Kilkala, one is getting lashes because she was Mizana. She was disloyal to her husband. She slept with somebody else. And the witnesses told her, if you sleep with a man other than your husband, you're going to get lashes. So she's getting lashes. Achas Akla Pageshvias, the other woman, she's getting lashes because Midrabanan, If somebody causes the fruits of Shemitah to go to waste, they get lashes. The Torah gives us a mitzvah to say. And the resting of the land should be for you for eating. It's a mitzvah of la'achla, to eat the fruits of Shemitah. And we infer from that, la'achla v'lo hefseh, you're supposed to eat the fruit but not make it go to waste. That's a big challenge. When you have wine from an Israeli winery, from the Shemitah vintage, you can't let any of that wine go to waste. You have to drink every single drop. You can't let some of the wine spill over. We have a custom. For Avdalah, we pour some of the wine on the flames to put out a flame. We can't do that with Shemitah wine, because that's putting Shemitah wine to waste. But la'achla v'lo'hefseh, you have to eat it and not waste any bit of it. All of it has to be consumed. All of it has to be eaten. So here, this woman took Shemitah figs, and before they ripen, she ate them. So if you eat something before it ripens, it's not really eating. It's not the normal pleasure. That's just wasting. So that's violating. It should be for eating, but not for waste. This was for waste. Now, the Torah doesn't say don't waste. The Torah says eat. And through eating, it's inferring. Eat, but don't waste. So this is an assay. This is not a normal lashes. Normal lashes are when you violate a law. This isn't violating a law. This is just lashes midrabanan. So Amar Lahan, so the woman who ate the Shemitah figs before they had ripened, she tells the court of Akasha Mikem, a request of you. Hodi al Mayiloka, tell everybody what I'm getting lashes for. Shalo Yomru, so I don't want people to say Almasha Zuloka Zuloka. This woman's getting lashes the same way this woman's getting lashes. This woman was disloyal to her husband the same way that woman was disloyal to her husband. I don't want people to say that I'm getting lashes because I was disloyal to my husband, that I did a terrible sin. It's not what's going on. It wasn't that I was disloyal to my husband. It was that there was the, unfortunately, I ate Shemitah fruit. So that's what they did. If you pagish fius, they brought the early Shemitah figs that hadn't yet ripened. The telubit savar, they hung it around her neck. And they were announcing in front of her and saying, "Al iske shvius hiloka." This woman is getting the lashes because she violated Shemitah. Midrabanan, she gets lashes. Not that she's doing the terrible sin, that she was guilty of the terrible sin of Eishes Ish, of a married woman being disloyal. All right, some lessons about sinners and tshuva. Mefarsim in esachanafim. If there's a guy who is a flatterer, Rashi explains, he pretends to be very religious. Long Shemona Esrei, and he cries during Shemona Esrei, and he's, he accepts Shabbos early, and he keeps Shabbos late, and he gives Shiurei Torah, right? Claims to be very, very religious. But yet, when nobody's watching, I don't know, he's doing sins. He's stealing from his business partners. He's subscribing to, not kosher magazines. But, he's doing sins. Mr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. He's schizophrenic. He's showing one side one way and the other side another way. So we have to publicize that this guy's a sinner. People shouldn't think that this guy is real. They should know he's a fraud. Why? Because if we don't publicize that it's a fraud, there'll be a desecration of God's name. Rashi explains, desecration of God's name in one of two ways. It could be that people are going to say, if he's so righteous and he can steal from partners, I can be righteous and steal from partners. People might learn from him. That'll be Chil Hashem. That would be a desecration of God's name. Alternatively, he's going to get punished at some point for what he's doing. And if it's not publicized, people are going to have questions on God. Why does God punish him? So therefore, people should know this guy's not such a righteous guy. He's a fraud. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, uveshuv tzadik mitzidko v'asa avel. When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and he does a crime, v'nasati michshol lefanav, God says, I'm going to put a stumbling block in front of him, make sure ends up doing a big sin. God wants him to do a big sin, that people should see that he's not such a tzaddik. All right, another law. Tshuva samuchlatin. If there's a person who's total, he's all in for sin, and he does tshuva, even though he was all in for sin, ma'akevas apuranus, the tshuva will prevent misfortune. And even more, even if the heavenly court judged him and it came to a conclusion that he deserves to be punished and the punishment was signed and sealed, if he does tshuva, he won't get punished. Shalvas v'shayim, the wicked having tranquility. Wicked people getting away with it, having a good life and having wealth and having good health and all these things. Sofa takala, at the end of it, is going to be a big misfortune, because through all of their tranquility, they are going to end up continuing in their ways of sin and not repenting. All right, another lesson. Harishus mekaberes esba'aleha. Political power buries those who possess it. Arom nichnasla, person enters into political power naked. Arom yetze mimena, he's going to exit it also naked. He's not going to walk away with money. He's not going to walk away with honor. Not going to walk away with merits. He's going to walk away naked. Halavai should say yetziya kibia. Halavai should walk out the way he came in. Halavai shouldn't lose because he had power and he had authority. Rav ki avanavig lemeidan. Dina, when Rav would go out to judge a court case, Amar Achi used to say the following fatalistic statement. B'tzavu nafshe l'ktale nafik. With his own will, he's going to death. Right? I'm going to judge, Rashi explains. I'm going to judge. Maybe I'll make a mistake. And then I chose to put myself into trouble. B'tzavu beise leise avid. The will of my household I'm not doing. My wife's not happy that this is what I'm spending time doing. Judging, getting involved with all these fights. Reikin lebeise azil. So empty-handed, he's going to come back home. Halavai shudei biyaki yitzia. Halavai, the way he comes home should be the way he's leaving the home. Same way I have merits when I leave the home. Halavai, by the time I come home, I should still have these merits. Because I could lose them if I issue a wrong ruling. And it's just a lot of trouble. Rava, okay, have another good, you know, when Rava would go out to a court case, the same thing. Amarachi would say the same thing. Tzavu nafshi l'ktali nafik. With his own will, he's going to death. Because maybe he, Rava, is going to issue a ruling that is wrong, and therefore he's going to get punished. So from his own will, he's going to put himself into danger. V'tzvi beise leisu avit. The will, the needs of his household, he's not doing. His wife's not happy about this. This doesn't bring in money. And he's going to come back home empty-handed. Halavai shete bia ki yitzia. Halavai. His coming back from the court should be the same way he's going out. When he's going out, he doesn't have sins. Halavai, when he comes back, he shouldn't have sins. And when Rava would see a group of people behind him, escorting him to honor him, Amar used to say, don't give yourself any honor. Don't think, oh, I'm so special. I have all these students. I have all these admirers, these followers. Nothing of the sort. Remember the verse, Im yalu l'shamayim siyo, if his height will rise to the heavens, v'rosh olav yagia, and his head will reach up to a cloud, kiglalo, like his own excrement, lanetzach yovad, forever he will be lost. Roa of those who saw him, Yomru Ayo, they're going to say, where is he? In other words, a person can rise very high. But remember, we're human beings. When we eat, we have to go to the bathroom. What comes out of us smells. It's disgusting. At the end of the day, what comes out is forgotten. You want it to be flushed down the toilet. You don't want to see it ever again. A human being's going to have his moment in the sun, but then it's going to pass. So what's there to be arrogant about? That's not what life's all about. Life's not about the kavod. Life's about serving Hashem. Then you have eternity. You have eternity because you have gave Hashem nachas, made Hashem happy with the mitzvahs that you did. And that's what it's all about. We should be humble people, just devoted exclusively to divine service. Rav Sutra, Kav Makatfale B'Shabbos de Rigla, when they would carry him on their shoulders on the Shabbos of the holiday, they would carry him on their shoulders. Hava Amar used to say, don't be arrogant. Kilo la'olam chosen. For not forever is strength. V'imnezer l'dor-dor. Is he going to give a crown for generations? Okay, I'm the Rosh Yeshiva. Does that mean that my grandchildren will be Rosh Yeshiva? It doesn't work that way. Nothing to be arrogant about here. All right, the pasuk says, "Eis pnei rasha lo tov." What does that mean? Lo tov lam l'rishayim. It's not a good thing for the wicked. Shenosim lam panim olam hazeh, that they show them favor in this world, and then they get punished in the next world. So the rishayim, they don't gain by it. Lo tov lo v'la'achav. It wasn't good for achav. Shenoso lo panim olam hazeh, that they showed him favor in this world. Shenamar, because the verse says, "Yan ki nichna mipanai lo avya rabbi yamav." Since he was humbled before me, I won't bring him the misfortune in his days. Okay, so he didn't have misfortune in his days. So he went through life as king, married to Izebel, getting away with it. So the next world, it's going to be really hot for him. He's going to be in Gehenim for a very long time. Achav is one of those people mentioned in the Mishnah and Masechet Sanhedrin, that in lem chilek olam haba, they never get a portion of reward in the world to come. So it's actually a favor to have some hard times in this world, because those hard times wipe away our averos, and they enable us not to have Gehenim in the next world, and Adarabba, the opposite, to have Gan Eden, to have merit, to have the rewards of Olam Haba. Pasuk goes on to say, Lahatos Tzadik Bamishpat. What that means is, Tov Lem LeTzadikim, Sheinosam Lem Panim Lolam Bazet. It's good for the tzaddikim that they don't have favor in this world, that they have a hard time in this world. That way they'll have eternal reward in the next world. Tov lo Moshe, shlo naso lo panam b'olam hazeh. It was good for Moshe that they did not show him favor in this world. Shenamar, it says, Yan lo imanti milakti sheni. Since you didn't believe in me to sanctify me, you're going to die before entering Eretz Yisrael. Ha'ilu emantim bi. That implies that had they believed in me, adayin lo yigiyaz manam li patam in olam. They wouldn't have passed away. They would have gone into Eretz Yisrael and lived for some more generations. So for one little sin, Moshe Rabbeinu passes away and doesn't get into Eretz Yisrael. You see that Hashem wasn't showing him any favors. A little sin right away, the big punishment. So no favors in this world is good. That means in the next world, he has eternal reward. And he has all of that with him to hold. Ashrayim l'tzadikim, fortunate are the tzadikim, lo dayan shein zochin, not only do they merit because of their tzidkus, elashem izakim l'bneim atzov kol adoros, they cause merits for their children and grandchildren for all generations. Shakam abanim hayu lo la'aron, shu'il nisarev k'nadav v'aviyu. All of Aaron's children deserve to be burned like Nadav and Aviyu. Shneimer, it says, hano sarim, these are the children who were left over. They should have been burned, but they were left over. But the merit of their father stood for them. So that's the power of tzaddikim. They help the children and the grandchildren. Woe to the wicked. Not only do they cause themselves to be convicted, they bring down punishment on themselves. But they also cause conviction to their children and grandchildren. To the end of all generations. So Rabbi Gamliel, Kanaan had many descendants that would deserve to get some good title, like Tavi, the servant of Rabbi Gamliel. He was a kasheraya. He was very righteous. But the guilt of their father Kanaan caused them not to get it. A rule, Kalamazakis Harabim, anyone who enables and encourages and inspires the many to do mitzvos, Ein chet bal yado, he will not have any sin come to him. So somebody who gets other people to give tzedakah, somebody who gets other people to learn Torah, enables other people to daven, anyone who's mezakeh harabim, who enables many to have a merit, he doesn't have sins. He won't get sins. However, kol hamachtias harabim, somebody who not only does he sin, but he encourages others to sin. He gets many to sin. He, you know, pressures them, seduces them, entices them to sin. Kemat ein maspikim yada la'asos shuva. It's basically, some take out the word kemat. They don't enable him to do tshuva. They don't help him do tshuva because he caused so many people to sin. So he's not going to be able to do tshuva himself. Now the reasons. Kol mezakeh harabim, somebody who is mezakeh, gives many the merits. He gets many to do merits. Ein chet bal yadi, won't have a sin. My time or why? Kadesh lo yehu begehenim v'talmido began Eden. So that it shouldn't be a situation where he is in Gehenim And his students are in Gan Eden, right? His students are in Gan Eden because he got them to give tzedakah, he got them to learn Torah, he got them to daven. So they're going to be in Gan Eden. So is it right that they're in Gan Eden and he's in Gehenna? Shenamar, and that's what the pasuk teaches us. Kilos sazov nafshi lishol. You won't leave my soul to the grave. L'sitin chasidcha l'rosh shachas. You won't give your pious one to see Gehenna. However, anybody who makes many people sin in Masrikim Yad Alas Tshuva, they do not enable him to do tshuva. Shalo Yehehu began Eden, because that would be wrong, right? He's going to be in Gan Eden because he did tshuva. The Talmidav, and those who learned from him, those who he inspired, are in Gehenna. Shanamas, the pasuk says, Adam Ashuk Bedam Nafesh Adbar Yanum Al Yitmuchubo. A person who is guilty because he caused the soul to be lost. He got a soul to sin till the day of his death. He's going to seek out help, and they're not going to help him. They're going to let him fall into Gehenna, because it wouldn't be right that he'd be in Gan Eden, and meanwhile the people that he influenced, that he inspired, they are all going to Gehenna. All right, back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Omer echtav ashav echtav ashav." He must speak. We had the last was tshuva. A person who says, "I'll sin, but then I'll do tshuva," so it's not such a big deal. They're not going to enable him. They're not going to give him the help to do tshuva. Ask Gemara, "Loving the name echtav ashav echtav ashav treizimni." Why the Mishnah have to say it twice? A guy who says, "I'll sin and I'll repent," I'll sin and I'll repent. The Mishnah could have just said, "A guy who says, 'I'll sin and I will repent.'" So since the repentance is part of what causes the sin, he's not going to be able to do tshuva. Why was it said twice? He answers the Gemara. This is for Kid Rav Huna Marav, like the lesson of Rav Huna, the name of Rav. Don't Rav Huna Marav, Rav Huna said the name of Rav. Kevan Shavar Adam Aver V'Shanabo. If a person does a sin and repeats it, Hutrelo, it's permitted to him. Hutrelo, Sagadaydach, you think that that's the case? It's permitted to him? Ella, rather, it means Nasis Loka Eter. He thinks it's now permitted. He thinks it's now permitted. Once he does a sin repeatedly, he's addicted. He keeps doing the sin. Therefore, they're not going to enable him to do tshuva. If a person says, Echtav Yom HaKippur Mechaper, I'll sin and Yom Kippur will atone. Again, in Yom HaKippur Mechaper, Yom Kippur won't atone for him. Does that mean that this mission is against Rebbe? The time, because we learned in a brisa, Rebbe, Omer Rebbe teaches, I'll call Aver Shabbat Torah, for all the sins of the Torah, Bein Asa Tshuva, Bein Lo Asa Tshuva, whether he repented or he didn't repent, Yom HaKippur Mechaper, Yom Kippur atones. It says for all sins, implying even those sins that are somewhat caused by Yom Kippur. Even the sins that he did, because he said Yom Kippur is going to atone, Yom Kippur won't atone. Says the Gemara, Filu Tamer Rebbe, can even be Rebbe. Agav Shani, if he says, because of Yom Kippur I'll sin, so then Yom Kippur is enabling the sin. If Yom Kippur is enabling the sin, there's no way that Yom Kippur is the atonement. But when Rebbe says, even without tshuva, Yom Kippur atones, that's true. If Yom Kippur didn't cause the sin, somebody has sins, he didn't repent, Yom Kippur will wipe it away. The Mishnah goes on to say, Averis ben Adam l'makom, sins between man and God, Yom Kippur can wipe away, but Averis ben Adam l'chaveru, sins between man and his fellow friend, he needs to apologize. He has to make sure his friend is no longer upset with him, his friend gets along with him. Rami le Rav Yosef bar Chavu le Rav Avo. Rav Yosef bar Chavu challenge Rav Avo. Our Mishnah says, Averish ben Adam l'chaveru, en Yom HaKippur mechaper. Sins between man and his friend, Yom Kippur will not atone. Hi, Vaksim, doesn't the pasuk say, Im yachta ish le ish, ufilu lo elokim. If a man will sin to his friend, God will mollify him and atone for him. Sounds like he didn't make up with his friend, but God will atone for him. Says the Gemara, Man Elohim. No, what does this mean here? Ufilu lo Elohim, not God. It means Dayan, it means a judge. Not that God will atone for him. A judge will judge him. Im yachta ish le'ish. If a man commits a crime against another man, ufilu lo Elohim. Now he has to go to the judge. Who will judge between the two of them? We're in a fight. Yach, if that's what the first part of the pasuk means, Eima say, if we read the end of the pasuk, but if a person sins against God, mi yispalo lo, who is going to judge him? What do you mean? God could judge him. The same way we're saying that if a man is in a fight with another man, the court's going to judge him. So if a man does something against God, God will judge him. This is what it means. If a man commits a crime against another man, and then he talks to that man, and he makes up with that man, then Elohim Yimchalo, God will forgive him. However, if man sins against God, Niyaspalalo, who can mollify God? As if I'm in a fight with another person, so I can mollify that person, then God will forgive me too. But if I'm in a problem with Hashem, how can I approach Hashem? So, in other words, nobody else can approach Hashem for me. Nobody else can mollify Hashem because of what I've done to Hashem. The only thing I can do is tshuva ma'asim tovim. I can repent, I can do good deeds, and then I change my ways, and God might forgive me. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak taught, kol ha'maknis chaveiro, anybody who upsets his friend, afilu b'dvarim, even with just words. Unlike, the line in that they tell the little children, they say, right, sticks and stones might break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's not the Jewish view. We have a halacha of onas dvarim. We can't say things that will cause people pain. Kol ha'maknis chaveiro, anyone who upsets his friends, afilu b'dvarim, even with words, tzarech l'faiso, has to mollify him. Shenamar, the verse says, b'ni ma'asani marak l'reacha. The pasuk in Mishle, warning a person not to sign on as a guarantor of a loan. My son, if you made yourself the guarantor for your friend, takata lazar kapecha. The pasuk says that means you just gave your hand over to a stranger. You don't know what's going to go on with his business. Maybe you'll end up having to pay the loan. No kashtu bim revicha. You've stumbled in your words. Asezo seifu benivi natzel. But do the following in order to be saved. So the way the Gemara is reading this, as I talk about different scenarios, B'ni, my son, if you were the guarantor for your friend, or takat lazar kapecha, or you gave your hand to a stranger, or no kashta b'imrei picha, or you've stumbled with your mouth because you've gotten into a fight by saying things to somebody that upset him, Asay zos benivi natzel. So do the following, my son, and be saved. Kibasa bekafreyecha. This you came in your friend's hand. Lechit rapes urahavreyecha. So it means like this. Im amon yesh biyadcha. Let's say you guaranteed your friend, and you guaranteed his loan, and you have money. So ater lo pisas yad. So then, relax your clenched fist. Give your money up to pay the loan. Vim lav, if it's not the case of giving a loan guarantee, but rather it was the case of no kashtu bim reficha, you've heard him with your mouth. Then you have the other part of the pasuk, where the pasuk says keep urahav reecha. What does it mean? Rahav reecha. Rahav is the letters of the word harbe. Harbe alav reyim. If no kashtim in reficha, you've stumbled with the words of your mouth, you've gotten into trouble with your mouth because you've offended your friend, and send many friends over to your friend to say, listen, Zev is really feels bad. Zev is apologizing. Would you forgive Zev? So when you send many friends over, the person you hurt might forgive. Rav Chizda said, Nitzarech lefaiso b'shalosh shuro shel shalosh bnei adam. You have to apologize to your friend and mollify him with three rows, in other words, three times, and with three people in each row, each time. Shenemar, as the verse says, Yashor al anashim, he'll make a row of people. V'yomer, and he'll say, Chatasi, I sinned. V'yashor, he'll make another row to say, Ha'avisi, V'yashor, Ha'avisi, I corrupted that which was straight. And thirdly, v'lo shavali klum, v'lo shavali, nothing was worthwhile for me. So these terminologies of shuras, they have to make rows, and he has to say chatasi, he has to say yashar ha'avisi, the straight I corrupted, and thirdly, v'lo shavali, it wasn't worth it for me. In other words, he has to apologize three times. So that's it. That's what the Rambam says. If you're in a fight with somebody, you have to apologize to him three times. If after three times he still won't forgive, now it's on him. Now it's not that you did anything to him. Now it's all on him. He's the one who didn't do for you. He didn't forgive you when he should have.
Which
you had three witnesses to? Yeah. Three times in front of a row of three people. You ask him. He keeps saying no. Now it's on him. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina said, Anyone who's asking for forgiveness from his friend, doesn't ask more than three times. Shenemar, as we find with Yosef's brothers, where they ask him to forgive them for having sold him. Ana sana pesha hecha v'chata sam kirag malucha v'ata sana lepesha avde Elohe avicha. So it's three times and no more. V'im mace. And if the friend died before you can apologize to him. And maybe Asar Bnei Adam, then you bring 10 people, you stand them up on the grave of your friend, Omer, and you say, Chatasi LaHashem Elokei Yisrael, I sinned against God, the Lord of Israel, Viliploni, and I sinned against so-and-so, Shechaval Tibo, because I damaged him, and I hurt him. Rabbi Yirmiyah, Havalei Milsalur, Bababadze, Rabbi Yirmiyah had a situation that Rabbi Abba was upset with him. I guess Rabbi Yirmiyah had said something. Rabbi Abba was hurt by what he said. So Hazal, so Rabbi Yirmiyah went. Esav Adasha to Rabbi Abba. He sat at the entrance of Rabbi Abba's home. Bahadi Deshad Yam Samaya. So when the maid of Rabbi Abba was throwing out the urine, she was pouring out the garbage. Good morning. She was pouring it out. Mata Zarzufi Demaya Resha. So some of this urine dropped on his head. So now Rabbi Abba had been upset about what Rabbi Yirmiyah had done to him. So now Rabbi Yirmiyah has grounds to be upset about what Rabbi Abba does to him, because Rabbi Abba's maid is pouring the urine from the toilet on Rabbi Yirmiyah. Amar, so Rabbi Yirmiyah said, Asuni Kashba, they made me into the garbage dump. They empty out the toilets on me. He said about himself, about me, the pasuk says, "May Ashbos Yarim Evyon." From the garbage, he will live up. He will lift up the impoverished. So now I don't need to ask for forgiveness. Basically, that's what Yirmiyah is saying. They've turned me into a garbage dump. I don't need to apologize anymore. Shama Rav Abba. Rav Abba heard. Enough of Glappi went out to him. Amalei said, Ashta tzrichna lemepa kadatech. Now I need to go out and get you to forgive me. Tzev, that's what the pasuk says. Lech hitra peis urehav re'echa. Go and apologize. You know, get a lot of friends to that person that he should forgive you. Get a lot of friends to the person that you hurt, so that he should forgive you. Reb Zera Kavalei Milsavadi Inshi. When Reb Zera would have something that he was upset with somebody, somebody hurt him. Have a chalafatani lekameh. He used to go in front of that person a second time, a third time, many times. Omam tzile, make himself available to that person. Keich de nesek, so that person would come. V'nefek lemi daite. And ask him for forgiveness. And he would be able to forgive him. Rav Havalei Milsa Bahadi Ahu Tapcha. Rav had an issue with a certain butcher. This butcher had hurt Rav. The butcher did not come in front of Rav on Erev Yom Kippur to apologize. Amar Yehu, so Rav said, Ezel Anal Fusile, I'm going to go to mollify him. Bagabe Ravuna. Ravuna met him. Amar Lei, he said to him, Lecha Kazalmar, where's our master Rav going? Amar Lei, Rav said, Lefus Leplani, I'm going to mollify so and so. Amar, so Ravuna said, Ezlana, Azal Abba, sorry, Ravuna said, Azal Abba, Abba was the name of Rav. He said, Abba's going, Lemiktol Nafsha, to kill somebody. If the guy didn't come to you on Erev Yom Kippur, and you're going to go to him, and he's still not going to apologize, he's going to die. But Rav didn't listen. Azal Rav went, v'kami luvei. He stood in front of this butcher. Have a yasav kapali reishi. The butcher was sitting and chopping up the bones of the head of an animal. Dali ene lifted up his eyes. V'chazi, he saw Rav. Amarle said, Abbat, you're Abba, aren't you? Zil, go. Lastly, milsabadach. I don't have anything to talk to you about. I don't have any words to share with you. So He rejected the chance to apologize. I did the kapali reisha. So as he was chopping up the head, ishtam et garma, a bone slipped off. Omachya bekoe, it hit him in his throat. The kakle, and it killed him. Okay, peches is a small daf, so this is Hashem tomorrow. We'll do pezayin rebeis as well as peches. And Bezis Hashem will have a siyum next Tuesday, Tuesday night here in the shul at 7:15. Bezrat Hashem, everybody's invited to come for meat during the 9 days. Yeah.